Are you ready to get your happy on in 2021? I am just going to assume, although that's never a good idea, in this case, I think it's okay that you said yes. This episode is really all about happiness and kindness, and we'll talk about some things that I never anticipated we would in this episode, even as I prepared. I've got a guest who's coming in, and if you're a sucker for an accent, as am I, you're going to want to stick around. We've got the Greek accent to die for today in this episode, and content that you don't want to miss. But before I dive in, I'm Deborah Atkinson. You're listening to Flipping 50, where I address your top struggles and your concerns, and I share what to eat, how to move, and like this episode, how to change your mindset to get the energy and the vitality that you want, need, and deserve in this second and better half. This episode has been brought to you by the 5-Day Flip. If you are still just a little reluctant to dive in and get started, you have not found the exercise solution that's really helping you to lift the weights that you need to lift safely the way you need to lift them, or figure out how in your very busy life that you can do enough exercise and yet not too much, and what it looks like if you were going to lay out a week's worth of exercise. I give you 5 short workouts, 15 minutes or less, and I show you as I give them to you how I plan not only my clients, but my own workouts week to week so that you can too. I'm going to put the link to the 5-Day Flip in the show notes. And as soon as you get started, you'll get the very first workout sent right to your inbox. My guest today is Dr. Ilya Gourgaris, and he is the founder of the Happiness Center. Isn't that a nice place to work? An organization of world-leading experts in the field of positive psychology. Together, they have helped thousands of individuals, both personally and professionally, to achieve happiness, success, and wellness. Dr. Ilya is a happiness and wellness expert and the number one best-selling author of 7 Paths to Lasting Happiness, which has been translated in Mandarin, Cantonese, Greek, Turkish, and just recently in Spanish. He's the co-author of the critically acclaimed new book, 7 Keys to Navigating a Crisis, a practical guide to emotionally dealing with pandemics and other disasters. Dr. Ilya is an international keynote speaker. Last year, he spoke in Paris, London, Rome, and Athens. He's a UCLA graduate and holds a PhD in clinical psychology, and I am oh so glad to have you here today.
It's my pleasure. And yes, the Happiness Center is a very happy place to work at.
I would imagine. I mean, just walking into a building like that sets you up for something very special.
Yes.
Okay. So I've done just the tiniest little bit of homework, as a good host should. So I want to really unpack so very much here that is important too. We talk about lifting weights a lot. We talk about bone density and hormone balancing a lot, but what is better for hormone balancing than happiness? And I want to ask you a little bit about 4 different personality types when dealing with a crisis.
Yes. So, you know, I wrote this book with my best friend and partner, Coach Khan Apostolopoulos. How's that for a nice Greek name?
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt, and this was on March 15th, I had a very, very strong impression that there's a tsunami of mental health crisis coming, you know, depression, anxiety, and stress, and that people would need help as a result of the pandemic. I mean, there are other crises, of course. There's the financial and economic crisis, you know, with hundreds of millions of people across the globe unemployed and billions underemployed or just feeling financially insecure, not knowing where their next paycheck and meal is going to come from. And you have the political and the social and the racial strife. I mean, so the world is dealing with a multitude of crises besides just the pandemic. So in any crisis, we typically have 4 different personality types in the way that they react. The first one we call the victim. And the victim basically is, why is this happening to me? You know, poor me, basically, right? As if it's only happening to them and not the other 7 billion people on this planet. So, you know, they get down, they get depressed, they just, you know, they mope around. So that's the victim. The second one we'd like to call the critic. Now, the critic, regardless of what the federal, state, or local government or the World Health Organization or the United Nations, no matter what they say, they criticize everything. For example, Deborah, you should wear a mask when you go outside. Well, that's stupid. Okay, Deborah, never wear a mask when you go outside. What are you trying to do, kill me? Like, no matter what happens, they criticize everything, right? Then the third type we call the bystander. Now, mind you, the bystander is a good person, but think of it the deer with the headlights look. They're so frozen in fear, petrified, and unable, they can't handle all the changes that are coming at them. They can't react properly. So basically, they do nothing. They might look to the neighbor, they might look to the left and to the right, but they're immobilized. And what all three of these personality types have in common, in essence, is that they don't move the needle forward. They don't take any positive, proactive action. So they do nothing. Then we get to the fourth personality type, which we like to call the navigator, which was the premise of this book. And the navigator, of course, begins with a positive attitude, meaning this too shall pass, practices self-care and is resilient, flexible and adaptable, and ultimately helps other people as a result of all that stuff. Now, one thing before we move on to the next question is this. These four personality types exist within each human being. And this is me putting on my psychology hat. You know, the first half of my career was a clinical psychologist in private practice. We are all four of those types. Specifically, when the pandemic hit and everything shut down in March, all my speaking engagements across the globe got canceled within 1 week. Everything. I was supposed to speak in Barcelona in October. I ended up doing it on a Zoom call. It's not the same as being in Barcelona. So I was the bystander. I didn't know what hit me, just like everybody else, right? Like, now what? What am I going to do now? And did I feel like a victim? Why is this happening to me? Like I said, I looked forward to traveling. I love to travel and to speak and spread happiness and wellness. Everything, poof, overnight. Yes, I felt like a victim. And have I been critical of the federal government for some of the way they've responded to this? You're darn right I have. But this is the biggest and the most important thing. If I criticize the government for the last 6 months, I'm not hurting the government. I'm robbing myself of my own personal happiness and wellness. If I stay the victim mode and it's poor me and I mope around the house and I don't do anything or I'm the bystander immobilized, I'm hurting myself, nobody else. So what is the point of this? The point is, if you feel like a victim, then be a victim, dive deep into your victimhood and do it for 2 hours. Take the whole, you know, symphony out, play the violins, do whatever you got to do, live it, feel it, but then let it go and then pivot and become a navigator. Same thing with being a critical person. Criticize all you want, just do it for an hour or two, vent, get it out of your system, and then pivot and become a navigator. Because you know what happened as a result of me navigating? I wrote a book in 45 days with my partner, which, mind you, the first book took me 3 years to write, just to put it into perspective.
Wow.
So I knew it didn't control the speaking engagements around the world because they got canceled. It was beyond my control. So we need to know what is within my control, however. What's within my control is my positive attitude, that this too shall pass. What is within my control is what actions am I willing to take that truly are within my control. And one of them was I can sit down and produce something that will help other people.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the other thing I love as you were talking that I think is so important to point out to listeners that, you know, as we study, you know, whatever it is that is our deep niche and expertise, that doesn't mean we're immune to going through the levels or the layers that occur in what it is we're studying in our human being, you know, part of us. You still, you know, experience just levels of bystander and then moved into the other one. And I think it's important, listeners, that, you know, we're coming from a standpoint of teaching you how to navigate for yourself and how to identify for yourself what did happen for you and move out of it. Talk to me.
Yeah. And you know what else, Deborah, specifically about that? Successful people or successful companies, but let's talk about individuals for right now.
Yeah.
Make the same mistakes, have the same disappointments as everybody else. Except that they do three things differently. The first thing is that they take personal responsibility for it. They say, yep, this is on me. Nobody put a gun to my head. Now, in some cases, something else happens. It wasn't my fault that things got canceled, but it happened. Number two, they have the ability to learn from it. You're like, what is the lesson in this? So they don't repeat the same pattern in the following year or the next week or the next month. And number three, which I actually think is even more important, they have the ability to let it go. In other words, I'm not going to carry the angst, the frustration from 2020 to 2021, or from last month to this month, or from last week to this week, or from yesterday. I have bad days, even though I'm the happiness doctor. I'm pretty happy most of the time, but there are days that I'm down too. I just don't have two bad days in a row. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is the only thing that I can control. And the decisions I make today determine my tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So yeah. The only thing I control is what I do right now.
Love those three things. Thanks for stopping and adding those. Okay, so I want to ask you literally what role self-care plays, because that came up a little bit ago. But maybe before we do that, how would you define self-care? We talk about all the time, but I think sometimes, okay, maybe there's a danger of just that's an umbrella statement. And do we know what it means? How do you define self-care?
I think self-care, I see it is in four different areas. How am I doing physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? Because I feel the spiritual component is really important. So as a result of the pandemic and me writing the book, I created what I call a personal health assessment, which is 20 questions, five questions per category, like physical health. Simple questions like, how's your energy throughout the day? Or how rested do you feel when you wake up in the morning? How healthy is your diet? What's your level of activity and exercise and so on? And then for mental health, what's your ability to maintain a positive attitude? Or what's your ability to stay focused right now? By the way, when we're under a lot of stress, our focus goes out the window. And I actually suffer from that. I feel like 2020, as my own stress level increased, my focus was not quite as sharp. Like that's, and then you rate it from a scale of 1 through 5. Five, I'm doing great. 1, I suck at it. 3, I'm doing okay, but there's room for improvement. And basically, in 2 minutes, you have a very clear picture of where you are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, which then gives you an idea of, first of all, what areas are you doing really well? Because certainly there are certain areas that we're doing well. And what areas do I really need to focus on to create a healthier and a happier lifestyle? And I can send this to you in a PDF if you like, for your listeners to have, if you want. It's a very easy and it's a very, hands-on, here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be so good. I think it's always good to do, just a quick little self-assessment. I don't know who would pass that up. And, just to take that ranking scale and you have this really clear picture of what it feels like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you score a 4 and a 5, congratulations. That's awesome. If you score yourself a 3, I'm like, okay, there's some room for improvement. I'm doing some of it, but not every day. But if you have a 1 or a 2, now those are red flags, because clearly those impede your well-being. And a specific example I'll give you, before the pandemic, I used to walk 3 days a week for an hour, like 3 miles for those 3 days. And I did it because I had to. I'm getting older. I have movement is important. Well, guess what? As the stress levels clearly increased during the pandemic, my level of self-care had to increase as well. So since April, I've been walking every single day, 7 days a week, come rain or shine or snow or heat or whatever. And now I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I see what it has done for my, not just my physical well-being, but for my mental and emotional well-being. As you know, being outside in nature reduces your stress level, increases your mood. There are chemicals that are released in your brain. And now for me, it's a non-negotiable. And I hope, and I'm saying this publicly to you and to your audience, that when the pandemic passes and the lockdown, things open up, that I will continue this new habit that I have formed, because I see what benefit it has. And you know what? I just made one small change in my life, but I've done it for 9 months now, and the benefits are amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to call you and ask you. So you're on the hook.
You're my accountability partner. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, I have a question. So I'm not sure if there's conclusive evidence for this where you can address this, but when it comes to self-care, is there, you described, you know, the personality, the victim, the critic, the bystander, the navigator, is there a relationship between that behavior in response to a crisis and the person who regularly observes better self-care versus those who don't?
No, absolutely there is. Because remember, the first three don't take any action to improve their lives. Mm. They're into victimhood, they're into blame, or they're into fear. The fourth, however, is the navigator who basically looks, assesses the situation, says, what do I need to do to take care of myself? And by the way, it isn't just going for a walk every day. I mean, that's one adjustment that I made. And in the book, Seven Keys Navigating a Crisis, we give other examples. For example, a simple one. I no longer watch the news. And I haven't watched the news since April, which I'm not saying I'm uninformed. I read news on the internet from specific sources that I feel like are credible and they're not propaganda from the left or the right, either one. This is not a political statement. I'm informed, but I'm not going to have my TV on 24/7 where everything is breaking news every half an hour. The word breaking news meant the president got assassinated. Like once in a blue moon, something huge happened, or there was a catastrophe or an earthquake or a devastating hurricane. There's nothing breaking news every 30 minutes. The noise, the sound, and the fear mongering that's coming from the airwaves is so destructive to our mental well-being and to our emotional health. So I made a conscious decision to unplug. In other words, the TV doesn't control me. I control what I watch and what I listen to, and I'm much more peaceful, and I'm much more able to get things done and not get hijacked by whatever, you know, who's ever screaming on the television.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And everybody listening, I think there's some level of, you know, and have to be careful here because I run a lot of programs that have private Facebook groups and we gather online. But I do think that social media has become a place too, where you really have to be careful who you allow in your timeline, who you're liking, who you're following, and control that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm just going to guess here that being somewhat flexible this year, and I've said, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, that everyone has had to pivot working with fitness professionals, you know, who are used to seeing people in person and helping them with their businesses. It's been all about pivot, pivot, pivot. How important is flexibility in all of this in terms of response to crisis?
It's huge. I think it's one of the key components to whether people will just survive or where they will thrive during a crisis. So flexibility and adaptability, which are part of resilience, of course, are huge. And the example that I'd like to use is the analogy of the oak tree and the palm tree. Now, as you know, the oak tree usually is this massive, beautiful, tall tree. Has been around for 100 years, right? Strong as can be. However, during a storm, if there's enough saturation, enough rain, and then enough wind, what happens to oak trees? They come crashing down on people, cars, and homes. That's what happens to them. These beautiful trees, right? On the flip side, the palm tree, which is relatively thin, comparatively speaking, will bend and will continue to bend. And at the very peak of the storm, sometimes it bends almost parallel to the ground. And now I really want you to think about the storms of life. But what happens when the hurricane or the cyclone or whatever passes? The palm tree raises up and has survived. And it's actually stronger than it was before because its roots had to dig down deeper in order to. But why did it survive? Because it had the ability to bend, right? So I'm asking your folks to make a choice. Do I want to be an oak tree or a palm tree? Now, people have said, well, Dr. Ilya, what is an oak tree? I get the analogy. It's very clever, and I can visualize all that and all that. But what is an oak tree in human terms? What does that sound like? So a human being who is an oak tree is a person that says, well, that's the way I've done things around here for the last 40 years. I'm not going to change. I'm not changing. This is who I am. Take it or leave it, whatever. Okay, those people will break. And because I work with a lot of leaders, I'm talking senior leaders from Fortune 100 companies to nonprofits, you name it, government and otherwise. My message to them is, if ever was a time for you to practice flexibility and adaptability as you lead your companies through turbulent waters, the time is now.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to, without giving away the store, I mean, no listener would choose knowingly rigidity. No one wants to be rigid, but finding that, you know, right now in terms of crisis, I think we all wanted some control where we feel like we lost it everywhere else. What would be some tips that any one of us could take on any given day to work on becoming more flexible?
Let me ask you something, Deborah. Where does growth typically take place? Within our comfort zone or outside our comfort zone?
Way outside the comfort zone.
Yeah, which requires for us to actually listen. We're creatures of habit. We like our comfort zone. That's why it's called a comfort zone. We're comfortable there. But no growth has ever taken place inside our comfort zone. You know, you help people physically, right? What happens to a muscle when you're lifting weights? What happens to muscles, like physically, physiologic? Don't they break down?
Break down. Yep.
Why? Why do they break down?
Because we've added enough stimulus overload.
And as a result, what happens to the muscles?
They become more resilient, stronger.
Exactly. But that means you have to go outside of your comfort zone. You have to lift those weights and you have to do physically what your personal trainer tells you to do. It's not pleasant oftentimes. It's hard work, but there's a payoff. Well, it's the same thing with our lives. I could have stayed and looked at the computer and pined away and said, man, I wish I was going to Barcelona and Athens and Rome and London and so on. That wasn't the reality anymore. The reality changed. I didn't change it. It wasn't my fault, but it is what it is. So what could I do? I decided to write something that would help other people's lives and obviously open up a lot of doors for me as well. So trust me, it's not like I didn't think about staying in my comfort zone when I had the deer with the headlights look and the poor me. I did that for like 2 or 3 days. I was like walking around like a zombie. Like I didn't know what hit me. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I can't live like this. What am I going to do now? And that's the key question. Listen, in life, it doesn't matter what we know. What matters truly is what do we do with what we know? And that is really my philosophy. It's not about theories. It's about putting things into action. Practical steps, even small ones. Even if you make a 1% or 2% change in your life, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually today, and you stay consistent, where will you be 365 days from now? In a completely different place.
Love that. Love that. Okay. And there's definitely a theme here. You promote happiness and kindness in everything you talk about. Why is that?
Because first of all, I think happy people, because they practice self-care and their batteries are full, by nature, they seek out to help other people. It just happens automatically. They don't think about it. It's part of who they are and how they live their lives. On the flip side, when we perform acts of kindness or acts of service, there's something that happens to us innately that makes us feel better. Whenever I'm down, and again, going back to the victim mode, the poor me, the quickest way for me to get out of that is to look around and to help somebody else. So, you know, I've been doing interviews, radio, television, podcasts since May, since the book came out, and I promote, go out there and be kind and acts of service. Would you believe it that I've gotten pushback from people, even live? Like people have said, Dr. Ilya, that sounds great, but I'm drowning here. Are you seriously asking me to go out and help somebody else? What am I, my brother's keeper? This is a quote. These are actual words. People have said that. And I kind of pushed back. You know, I said, no, you're not your brother's keeper. You're your mother's keeper and your sister's keeper and your neighbor's keeper and the homeless person down the street or someone that lives 10,000 miles away on the other side of the world. Because if you're listening to the sound of my voice, I promise you, you are better off than somebody else. All you have to do is look around. People are struggling. People are lonely, depressed, stressed, anxious, all around us. And seriously, if you're really listening to this podcast, you're better off than so many people. And all you got to do is ask, look around and find them, and then go out and serve them and see how good you feel afterwards.
Such a great point. Thank you for adding that. Okay. I want to dive into this. And this is a term that on this particular podcast is probably less familiar with our listeners than it might be if we were talking to my fitness professionals, but personal brand. Let's talk a little bit about personal brand and how it's so critical to happiness, and really maybe unpack what you mean by personal brand for our listeners.
So your personal brand, first of all, we've all been branded. And people said, you know, how did you become a happiness expert? Like, really? Like, how did that happen? I said, honestly, it happened on the very first day that I was born. This is a true story. I was born a long time ago in Athens, Greece, you know, back in the day when nobody was allowed in the birthing room. There was no Facebook Live or Instagram or Snapchat with cameras and all that stuff, right? Just my mom and the doctor, basically. So as the story was told me growing up, my dad shows up and he comes up to this nurse, and there are five little babies behind this window, all wrapped up in the same white generic blanket back in the day. And kind of tough Greek guy, you know, smoking whiskey and all that stuff. He says, which one's my son? And I guess at that point I had a smile on my face, and the nurse turns to my dad and says, your son, he's the happy one.
Ah.
And I was branded growing up as a kid in my home. Said, well, you came out of the womb happy. You've always been a happy kid. Now, fast forward 25 years, now I'm in graduate school, getting my PhD in psychology, and the professor is speaking to us about the great debate, nature versus nurture. In other words, what makes us who we are? Is it our genetic predisposition, or is it our environment? And of course, the truth is both contribute to it. And I had this terrible thought, Deborah. I'm like, wait a minute. What if my dad shows up like 15 minutes late, comes up to the same window, same nurse, asks the same question? And at that point, I'm having horrible stomach pains and I'm screaming my head off and my face is all red. And the nurse turns to my dad and says, your son, he's the cranky one. And then I'm branded. I grew up in my home and like, Ilya, you came out of the womb cranky. You've always been a miserable little bleep. You know? And why do I share this story is this. Because there are, first of all, we've all been branded. Like I said, all you got to do is go back to your early childhood and you'll remember who you were and what role you played. There are some brands, however, that are positive and wonderful. Obviously, the happy one is at the top of the list, but the creative one, the athletic one, the smart one, the princess, the kind one, the loving one, these are wonderful brands, right?
Right.
Now, but having worked with thousands and thousands of people, and I would say 70% of them being women, actually, what I have heard about the negativity of the branding that they have endured, so many of them, some of the things I'm not even going to share with you. I'll tell you the top three most negative. And you might say, well, these are horrific. Who would say that to their kid? Well, believe me, the fat one, the ugly one, and the stupid one.
Mm-hmm.
So about 4 or 5 years ago, that's in my first book, The 7 Paths to Lasting Happiness. I'm sharing this at a women's conference, North Carolina, 500 women and me. And as I'm sharing this, I'm like, look, if you don't like your brand, today is the day for you to, I wanted to empower them, say, you have the power to change your brand if you don't like it. You know, it was a challenge to the audience. Out of the corner of my eye, I see this older lady in her 70s, mind you, who stands up and starts waving her arms. And actually, Deborah, she kind of threw me off my talk. I'm in the podium. I'm giving my talk. I mean, I was in my zone, but I couldn't ignore her because she was waving her arms. She was standing up. So I stopped and I'm like, yes, ma'am. She goes, you know, after listening to you, I want to change my brand. And I'm like, okay. And her name was Leah, by the way. She says to me, for 70 years, I've had this, you know, voice in my head. You're a stupid, fat, ugly beep, you know. And the room got so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. Between you and I don't know if I would have the courage to be that vulnerable and to say something in front of 500 strangers. But she did. So, you know, everybody got quiet. They're all looking at me. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at her. So finally I said, well, ma'am, what would you like your new brand to be? And she goes, from now on, and she was very proud and full of light and energy, she goes, I want to be known as Princess Leia, you know, kind of like the Star Wars. And I looked at her and I bowed down. I said, yes, Your Majesty. And everybody broke out. They started laughing and became a very lighthearted moment. But why do I share this story, Deborah, is this. If a 70-year-old plus woman, after 7 decades, can change this horrific brand that she had carried with her for her entire lifetime, then anybody else can do it. If you like your brand and you're fortunate enough to have a positive brand, well, good for you. I mean, that's you've been blessed. However, if you have a negative brand or a brand that you choose not to believe in anymore, give yourself a gift for 2021 and change your brand today.
Love it. Oh, gosh, that was worth the price of admission, I think, listeners. That's amazing. All right. I see a new challenge coming up in the Flipping 50 Cafe. So members, stay tuned for that. All right. Dr. Ilya, thank you so much for your time. But while I have you here, you're the expert. Is there a question that I should have asked you?
I don't think there's a question you should have asked me. I think, you know, the lessons learned, I guess, maybe that's the question from the pandemic or from 2020. You know, what is the biggest thing that I personally learned is do not procrastinate your happiness. That's my lesson from 2020. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't wait until, well, when the kids grow up or when the kids go to college or when they get married or, you know, when I retire or when I move to this place. Forget all the whens. There are no more whens. Life is fragile. And life is precious, and life can be cut short, as we know, sadly. There are no guarantees we'll be here next year, even next month. So as a result, happiness now, and move into action mode, be a navigator, be flexible and adaptable, be kind to your loved ones and those around you, even to strangers, and live your happiest life now. Don't wait.
I love it. So, so very good. Thank you for ending on that positive note. Where can listeners get more Dr. Ilya?
I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. You know, Ilya Grigoris, PhD, the happiness doctor. Mm-hmm. I also have a 30-day challenge that's starting on the 18th. I would love for you to join, which is basically how to navigate any crisis, personal or otherwise, while maintaining your happiness levels. So that's going to go for 30 days. You and I are connected on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as well, but Instagram, whatever. I'm around. I'm available.
So good. All right. For listeners, if you have a question that I didn't ask and you'd like an answer to, what I'm going to do is put the links to reach Dr. Ilya in the show notes, and we'll put links to that 30-day challenge. If you'd like to get a little happier, a little more kindness into your life, we'll put that in the show notes too. And that'll be at flipping50.com/happiness. There you go.
And I will also send you the personal health assessment, so you guys can take that for free. It takes like 2 or 3 minutes, but you have a very good idea of how well you're doing right now as you start the new year.
So good. Awesome. Love it. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Ilya.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and have a great, I truly believe that, and I want to say this from my heart, I want everyone to have their best and happiest year yet.
And let's do it. What are you waiting for? Let's start Flipping 50 today.